Commerce is brought to you by Link. Link makes your customers' post-purchase experience something they love through breakthrough innovation in artificial intelligence. Be sure to stick around to the middle of the show for a special offer. You can visit Link online today at letslink.com/podcast. That's letslink.com/podcast. All right, welcome to Future Commerce, the podcast about cutting edge and next generation commerce. I'm Philip.
I'm Brian.
And we want to present to you live, our first live broadcast today. We're here at Shop Talk 2017 at the Aria in Las Vegas, Nevada.
Yes.
Pretty good show. Big show.
Big show. Fun stuff. And lots of cool stuff going on here.
Second year of its running, and really glad to be here today. And we actually corralled some kind of awesome people to bring along with us for the ride here today. On the podcast, we have the folks from Acquia. So welcome. And I'll let you guys introduce yourself.
Chuck? Sure. I'm Chuck Fishman. I direct our industry development for media entertainment and retail. And I've been with Acquia now 4 years. It's been a great ride.
Sweet.
Awesome.
I'm Kendall Blois. I'm a product manager at Acquia, and I manage our commerce offering and our personalization software called Lyft.
And I'm Laura Brooks. I'm the newest member of the Acquia team. Been here almost, well, a month now. And I'm going to really be heading up where we take Acquia going forward in terms of what our commerce strategy is.
Great. Awesome. So for those who aren't familiar already with Acquia, although I think you're a very large name, tell me a little bit about the solution. What do you do? Who are your clients, and how might what's people
the,
know you?
And what's the Acquia story?
Yeah.
You know, how'd you get to where you are?
So Acquia is a platform for digital experiences. And digital experience is a buzzword, but if I'm trying to explain it to my grandmother, I say that a digital experience is a desktop website, it's a mobile app, it could be a screen. So for instance, we do the New York MTA, and when you're in the subway and you see those screens saying when the next train's coming, when is the M train coming, that's also Acquia infrastructure. We have a lot of products and services. We have a product called Acquia Cloud Site Factory, and what that is doing is it's allowing companies that have a portfolio of those digital experiences, of websites, of apps, to scale. So for instance, Nestle is a customer using Site Factory. Thinking of Pfizer, they have, every time they launch a new drug, for compliance reasons, they have to have a digital marketing component to that that allows consumers to find out information.
Oh, wow.
I represent media entertainment as well, so Warner Music, Universal Music, they use that product to, anytime they sign a new band or a solo act, they need to have that website and that experience for the artists. And there's some commerce involved in that too, like if I want to buy the merchandise. We also have a product I think we'll talk a little bit about called Acquia Lyft, which is allowing to take that same content that you're displaying on a website or a mobile app and put it in context for that individual user. And we're also now integrating with best in breed commerce platforms like Magento we have a partnership with. So I hope that gives a little bit of an idea what we do.
Yeah.
We have great customers like NASDAQ. I mentioned Pfizer. One of my favorite media clients is BBC Worldwide and their store. So we could go on and on about all the great clients we have, but hopefully did that explain it, guys?
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's
great. So you're kind of at the edge of the content to commerce story, where companies with very large content needs or frequent and very powerful needs in their publication of content, like media outlets, potentially.
Yeah.
When they're making their foray into commerce, you're sort of there with all the total solution.
We are definitely there, total solution, and also we're helping companies scale, right? Because the last thing you want to do is have, let's say, you're having like a big concert. I won't name any specific brands, right? But you have to sell 300,000 tickets in an hour. Or we do the Grammys, for instance. Grammys have 500 million page views in a single night.
Wow.
So we talked about the products. We talked about Acquia Cloud Site Factory and Lyft. We also do the support, right? Because we're talking about sites that need to be secure, scalable, and reach millions of consumers.
Wow.
It's huge. It's exciting. I think what I think is most interesting, you know, and coming from a long history of like Magento background, and actually we're here at the Magento booth, broadcasting live from the Magento booth, and that, you know, gets back to your connection and where you're headed, what you're trying to roll out. There's not actually that many solutions that can do what you're doing at scale. And I think that's, for me, coming from the commerce background, you know, I think having a solution like yours available and easily integratable with a solution like Magento is just, it's kind of a game changer in some ways.
Sure. How do you think, you know, I'll sort of open the question out to you guys. How do you think the market has fared in your space? It's probably too simplistic to call you a content management platform, right? Because you're so much more.
So the edge, to answer your question about the edge, that's really up to the companies, and it's a business transformation issue. So just to give you an example, you know, the record labels, right, like Warner and Universal, they have Magento stores, but the experience is maybe off to the side. We see like a two-site syndrome. So we're hoping that, you know, our customers and our prospects really begin this transformation of integrating the storytelling with their products and then integrating the commerce on that page. So we're offering the platform to do that with a partner like Magento, but that's really going to be the marketplace. And I think Lara can talk to that. I think that's the marketplace is going to have to lead that.
Yeah, absolutely. So you touched on this earlier about the whole importance of content, right? And we're firm believers that content is really ruling all of the digital experiences these days, both in terms of, you know, how you get your brand message out there and how your prospects and how your customers explore your brand, but then how they kind of migrate over to the transaction side.
Right.
And I think what retailers specifically are struggling with is all that information that they need to have, product information, brand information, and knowing that in order to stay relevant, they're going to have to address creating the commerce experience that is much more experiential and much more dynamic.
Yeah.
And they struggle to understand how to do that. And so it's not just about the two-site syndrome, which is the really the tip of it, but it's how do you get all that information? How do you know about your users to serve it up within the context of commerce that feels very relevant and very personal? And that's really where we come to the table with solutions that help people bring it all together. And the fact that it's open source, so Magento, of course, being an open source, is sort of core to both of our DNA. You know, you are they are the transaction engine, and we come in with that sort of ability to aggregate and manage the content, and also, you know, inform the personalization piece of it to really round out the experience for customers.
And two-site syndrome, meaning the commerce experience feels fundamentally like a different experience from the content experience.
Yeah, so that's a little bit where our product roadmap kind of is now and is going, where we have customers can choose kind of if they really need that two-site experience and can use a subset of each of our products to kind of fulfill a need if they want to have a separate store than their main digital experience. But what we're seeing for brands that really want to create that like unified, clear understanding, really connect with their consumers, they want to create that whole experience and have the freedom of their marketing team and their development team to build that. So they want to make sure that they can create the content, whatever that content looks like, however that it looks like. They want to personalize that content. They want to be able to make rapid sites and change them quickly based on whatever new products has come out or new experience they need to create because some event's coming up. And our platform allows them to do that. And this partner if they want to create that entire experience, we'll take all the power of an e-commerce platform and bring it to all the power of an open source, scalable digital experience platform.
I mean, I'm really curious, actually, because you got my gears turning. One of the things that we combat in e-commerce in particular is the idea that commerce should be enabled everywhere now, right? We consumers sort of demand that they can engage in commerce on their own terms wherever they happen to be. That's really what commerce is today. How do you think that mentality is affecting the consumption of content?
That's a great question.
So, I mean, I could talk about that from the media experience. That's what's exciting about Acquia being based on Drupal open source content management. So, you know, I'm sure there are components of commerce that it can syndicate with content. We see our media clients really want to have Google accelerated mobile pages so that if they're searching for the content, the Google result will return and then can actually hit that page. Or if there's a Facebook audience, they want to use Facebook Instant Articles to be in the feed. Now, both there are two Drupal modules, both for Google accelerated mobile pages, and there's a Drupal module for Facebook Instant Articles. Both of those exist in the community and can be integrated into your Acquia platform. so that you can reach those audiences. I'm been now in retail, covering retail for about 8 months. I'm seeing some vendors around, like Olapik. I know retailers are really interested in visual commerce.
Yeah, definitely.
And because Drupal is open source and there are about 30,000 active developers working on modules, and maybe the number's bigger than that, Ken, but there's a really robust community developing these modules. I believe that whatever your solution is, if you want to atomize that commerce, so to speak, and put it on a different platform or work with that platform, there's probably a module to extend it. But you have to have that core platform that you can do everything in one place, right? And what we see with retailers or even media companies is that they're going into six different dashboards. I want to look at my Google Analytics. I want to look at this other business intelligence software. How do you bring that back into a core platform so that you can syndicate content and commerce out and bring people back in?
That's huge. I think there's you've touched on some pretty big challenges, I think, that retailers are facing right now. How to actually manage all the systems that they're running, how to aggregate that data and use it to actually drive what types of content they're serving up and so on. And it sounds like what you're doing is really gonna help solve some of those problems. What are some other challenges that you think that retailers are gonna face in 2017 around content and commerce? What have you guys come up against?
I think actually getting successful personalizations is one of the hardest things that retailers know they need to do. They need to connect more meaningfully and deeper with their consumers, and to do that they need better understandings of the actual segments of who's buying their products, what they look like, and then figuring out what kind of optimizations and testings and experiences that they need to create based on personalized content. So both understanding like really who their visitors are and really what kind of content they need to get those users to buy their products. It's not just we offer a technology solution to do that, but it also requires in some cases some business transformations or investment in agencies that will help with the strategy and the creating that whole process, and then how to operationalize that review of segments, that review of content, and make sure that once personalized experience is set up, it's a machine that needs to keep running. And it's a different way to think about campaigns very different from what we've done in the past. So we have a really great customer success team that helps our customers kind of start, kind of bootstrap and get up and going in that process. Really excited about the work they're doing with our customers, but it becomes a point where the customers have to own it and then just have to figure out how are they going to change, how are they going to either add resources internally or extend their reach to agencies to help them.
Do you have some different technologies and tools that you would recommend to help drive that, like that an agency would leverage to help optimize that experience?
Or a merchant or a content outlet.
So we often recommend the Lyft tool that we sell for Acquia. We recommend that one of the first things folks do is actually let the profile manager piece of that just sit on your website for 6 months or however long your dev cycle is before you're ready, while you're building, while you're developing your strategy, and collect as much profile data as you can. And as that profile data is getting collected with your existing customer base, then you can do some analysis on that data, start to figure out who your segments are, start to plan what you're going to do as you build your site or build your digital experience. For folks that are looking for a complete replatform or at an opportunity where they really want to revisit their content, we also recommend just like a deep like architecture workshop. Someone actually taking a step back and looking at your content, because content can be really complex, and actually thinking about what good structured content means. So if you're if you're selling an Apple and you're going to create an Amazon Alexa experience and you want to be able to say what an Apple is, or a tomato, like some people say tomato, some people say tomato. Like how do you have to actually make sure that the Alexa can hear that word appropriately if you're going to have a skill that does that and then ties that to the tomato skew.
Right. So
all of those thoughts that need to go in that planning, that understanding of what the structured content should look like. It's content strategy. So if you do both that content strategy up front, and if you do both that kind of like collecting of data up front to then get ready to build what you're ready to build.
The thing I encounter a lot is a merchant who says, oh, wow, this all sounds great, except we're already spread thin. We're doing 100 things already. you know, to also do personalization well, it's almost like we need to hire someone full-time just to run it. We need to have a, you know, someone dedicated who's only thinking about personalization. And my response to them is, well, maybe. But I guarantee there's five things you're doing that have absolutely zero ROI that you need to drop and stop doing it right now.
And there are five things that I can tell you right now that you can do that actually bump your ROI.
Yeah, right. Well, that's really interesting. So, you know, one of the things we like to ask here, and Brian sort of touched on it a little bit, is, what do you think, what challenges do you see in the marketplace for you to have to overcome, for Acquia to have to overcome to get to the customers that need your product?
I think one of the things that, and I know this as a former commerce business owner, and what I'm hearing from a lot of retailers and brands out there is the idea that they have to go through a business transformation, and that seems really hard and really huge. And it's about some of the things that you touched on, Ken, which is internally aligning and organizing for digital and taking an outside-in view rather than an inside-out view. So not exposing your organizational silos to your customers, but starting to think about the customer first and their journey and then organizing around that. Because one of the most difficult things is to get everybody on the same page about what the customer experience is that you're offering, who owns what piece, because as we all know, especially in large organizations, everybody owns the customer experience. But everybody has different jobs with different sets of responsibilities. So yes, it's about the technology, but it's also about how do you organize, how do you talk to one another, how do you share responsibility, and then let technology that hopefully pulls it all together make it easier for you to have a line of sight on what you're ultimately going to deliver.
Wow.
That's amazing.
So tell me a little bit about the announcement of a partnership with Magento. Sounds pretty strategic. And from what I just heard, sounds like you guys have a very similar outlook on how you leverage open source and community. Give us a little bit of a download there.
So, open source, API first, community model is, it helps innovation grow faster. And that's what both of our organizations really want to help our customers be able to innovate as quickly as possible to create the experiences they want. Our excitement and kind of the crux of this partnership, I think, is about being able to help customers do that transformation easily. To Laura's point, it's challenging for organizations already, so we want our tools to make it as easy as possible, to not require our customers to rip and replace. So personalization is one of the biggest things in commerce right now. Our personalization tool is ready to easily just be integrated into Magento sites. So if folks want to use Magento as their digital storefront and have that as their primary shop, easy integration right there to start to add personalized content coming right from your content management system right into your storefront. A lot of our customers that are combined customers are already finding ways to create what we were talking about earlier, that completely unique experience on the Acquia platform that leverages Magento as a backend. And we're finding ways now to speed time to delivery on that. It's really important to us that our customers not hit those bottlenecks of huge replatforming. We want to be able to help them onboard as quickly as possible, use the tools that we're doing to create new experiences at the speed they want to innovate. So we're looking to build more product functionality between our products that will enable that kind of fast thing to both happen on the open source sides, but also for customers that just want to be able to just launch and run. We want them to be able to have their products ready and then create amazing experiences to engage their consumers.
Link is the best way to get your customers coming back to buy again. Link's Cortex AI platform creates rich relationships with every customer at every touch point on every platform. From Magento to Shopify, Hybris and Demandware, over 300 logistic and reverse logistic carriers around the world are integrated with Link. Link brings your brand to where customers are on Facebook Messenger, Alexa, SMS, and more. Let Link add the power of artificial intelligence to your business. For a limited time, Future Commerce listeners can claim an exclusive trial offer for 30 days free of Link Cortex. Sign up today and visit them online at letslink.com/podcast. That's letslink.com/podcast.
Yeah, I think that's what I was kind of alluding at earlier, like this is actually a really groundbreaking partnership because the speed at which Magento customers are now going to be able to actually provide that level of personalization to their customers, I think it's almost unprecedented. And so just personally, I'm really excited for this partnership because I can think of many ways that I'm like that my customers are going to be able to use this.
So, right. Well, how often do you find two companies that seem to have the same story?
Right. Yeah, that's also
it's,
so true.
It's kind of a, it's like you're made for each other.
Like opposite ends. Like Magento kind of coming from the background they came from, and then you guys kind of coming the Drupal route. Quite an interesting sort of like.
I also think too, and we're sitting in the Magento booth, so I'll keep the rhetoric down a bit. But my sense with Magento is that they've really struggled and clawed to try to get up market, and it's been hard for them. And potentially aligning with a company that already has upper market brands and is trusted as a name to serve well in that space, to align with you, it's going to help maybe bring you guys down market a bit. It's going to help bring them up market a bit. So I don't know if I'm reading those tea leaves correctly, but it sounds like it's going to be a mutually beneficial.
Well, that's exactly right, because the real heart of any partnership is mutual benefit, right?
Yeah.
So that's exactly what, if you hear, and there's a podcast, a really interesting podcast with both Tom Erickson and Mark Lavelle, talking about where the benefits are about the partnership and why we've gotten together, it's really exactly that.
Yeah.
It's that, there's benefit on both sides. We share that core DNA, that core background. And it's just such an opportunity for us to bring what we do well to complement Magento and what they do well. And that's really the strength of it, is that complement of each of us having expertise that works well together, serving what the customer ultimately needs.
So I'm sort of known in our circles for giving some, sort of futuristic talks. We happen to be at Shop Talk, where you see a lot of futuristic things floating around. What do you think of this show? And have you seen anything that's really striking? Or is this just another industry event that you just kind of have to come to?
So I'll make one observation, and then I'll let Chuck express his thoughts. But one of the things I'm noticing is that there is a sea of technology vendors here. And I think what I'm seeing personally and what I can see on the faces of some of the brands walking around is a little bit of an overwhelming sense of how all these different technology vendors are the same or how they're unique, and a little bit of awesomeness around which ones do I need?
Yes.
How do they play together? How do they play differently? How many point solutions do I need, and who's in which space? So I think there's a bit of an overwhelming sense with understanding where the digital technology landscape is going and understanding how to navigate and really sort of synthesize it down to what's important to me.
Actually, we talked about this when I got back from NRF, and I had the exact same impression, which is you walk into a show like Shop Talk or NRF, and it's just, if I was a merchant, I would have no idea what to do because like you mentioned, everyone's saying the same things or similar things, or there's a few lines of thinking. And so what I recommended after NRF, and I'm going to recommend this after Shop Talk as well, and it's very similar to what you said, which is you need to have a game plan going in. You need to do research going in, and having a trusted consultant, whether that's internal or external.
Or a partner.
A partner, that's what I'm saying. Yep. That can sort of help give you some education or help, provide a game plan or, partner with you on a game plan is really, it's a good way to leverage event, better way to leverage event than coming in blind and just wandering the floor.
You can come in blind to Shop Talk. One of the things I'm here to experience is the retailer stories. So Yuri Minkoff's story about how Rebecca Minkoff is trying to create an interesting experience in the fitting rooms where I can turn down the lights and I can buy right in the fitting room and no one has to know, and how they're doing their business intelligence, and that Yuri Minkoff can talk to Alexa and get his store stats or product stats. That's really interesting. The gentleman from Dick's Sporting Goods, they have completely brought digital, not just from their digital experience, but they've put it all over the store. So I'm here to hear those retailer stories. But I think one thing that's great about the Acquia Magento partnership is that we're also doing this for the digital agencies, for the design agencies, because they're going to be the ones that do the user experience and work on top of that for their clients. And so by having this partnership, we're allowing an agency to just turnkey know that it's going to work, and we're here to support it, and then they can do the development work on that. So I'm also meeting with a lot of agencies here and learning about what they're working on. I think the content at Shop Talk is just amazing.
Content's amazing. Yeah, I sat in on Lowe's Innovation Lab talk earlier, and it was one of their best talks on innovation I've heard.
Which I think we could probably have an entire episode just on that.
It was amazing. Yeah. And so what really separates Shop Talk, I think, from other shows that I've been to is, like you mentioned, the quality of content
here. Yeah, content quality.
And the thinking ahead is at a different level, I think, with this show than at other shows that I've been to. So that's really exciting. So that kind of leads me to another question, which is, where do you guys kind of see commerce going? And we kind of talked about in the immediate future, but more, in the next 3 to 5 years. And, what are you guys sort of planning to address where you think it's going?
And I would almost just interject there to say, and do you really think that we'll be buying grocery store, virtual reality grocery store experiences for our retailers sometime soon? Like, I'm so glad this year, I feel like they've toned down the extreme far future experiences a bit, and it's all sort of the within your reach.
Within your reach.
I think one of the things that I've seen a little bit, more than a little bit, quite a few times here is, we've been talking forever about omnichannel, right? Everybody gets that they need to be omnichannel. Everybody gets that the consumer's driving how they want to shop and interact with brands. And so a lot of it has been about, using your tablet or your computer or your phone to buy online and pick up in the store, and that's sort of the most simplistic model. But what we're seeing a lot here, which is really cool, you mentioned the Lowe's thing, is the use of technology in the stores to play a different role.
Yes.
And that's to inform, to broaden what a customer has in terms of product information or customer service support. Lowe's talked about the little robots that are running around. We've seen some robots over in the corner and a few booths over. It's about how that technology is being used in the store and all the data and all the information that it's collecting to put it out in real time. I mean, talk about real time. I'm in the store and I have an interest or a need to learn about what I want to buy. Not relying on people that need training, but relying on these little bots that can be where you need them to be and tell you anything you need to know is hugely powerful. I mean, that used to feel like light years away. It's not. It's today.
Right.
It's today.
And if there's anywhere where I can never find someone to help me, it's in a home improvement place, like a home improvement center.
They're always talking to somebody else.
Yeah. No, I kind of love. I love the Lobots. I also think that we're live right now. We have a. An interesting outlook where I let him be very bullish on things, and I can get to be the cynic, so I can be bearish on things. I really feel like retailers, there can be some apathy there because they see companies like Lowe's who are just doing these incredible groundbreaking things, and they can't even get the right search results on their website.
Yes.
And I think you can really start to feel a little bit, it's not overwhelmed, you can sort of get defeatist about your ability to even do the simplest things.
Some of this is being a victim of your own success, right? If you're a retailer, and I won't name the name, and you're growing 40% year over year with your e-commerce business, would you change your platform? Would you enhance your platform when that return has been 40% year over year?
Yeah.
That's something to think about. And then on the flip side of that, there's some just small issues that need to be hammered out. I mean, the American Disabilities Act means that you have to have certain font colors to display your products. And if you don't have that, you could be fined or you're going to risk your business. Yeah. So there's just kind of those aspects of that's what's kind of holding some of the retailers back with their digital experiences, both the success of their business and some of the small, minor things they need to consider in user experience.
It's interesting you touch on ADA a bit because the agency, Something Digital, that I work for, we do a lot of WCAG compliance work. And especially in the realm of e-commerce, it's incredibly difficult because experiences are so unique to people and to the various platforms. You were talking omnichannel, Laura. So many platforms where we have to be accessible now. If you are a smaller mid-sized retailer, it is really hard to keep up. So I do think that, you know, platform enablement becomes key. So we have to have these things built into platforms. We can't be reaching toward, I struggle with that idea because we've just touted how awesome an ecosystem can be because it can provide all this functionality. But there's something to be said about a large enterprise platform that can do everything and do it to the level that a large enterprise really needs. Because I know I can't, there's 300 search providers here. None of them are going to hit WCAG 2.0 AAA. None of them. And if that's my criteria, who do I turn to? It's an interesting challenge to solve at that scale. So what's next? What do you see? Where's Acquia going? What does 2017 look like? Any product announcements, or what are you guys fighting for this year?
We are putting a lot of bets on commerce, just as one avenue, one growth avenue. Of course, we have a lot of other things in the hopper.
Sure.
My joining Acquia, I think, is a sign that we really want to make a commitment to the content for commerce, mm-hmm. the content in commerce imperative, right? The personalization aspect as well, and how do we leverage the tools that we have, and Ken, you talked about Lyft, to really power the commerce experience, knowing that commerce is going to be all about personalized experiences and multi-channel, and how does Acquia want to build a strategy around being a bigger player? Mm. That's really a lot behind the Magento partnership at its roots. So we're making a very clear statement that we want to be in this space. We believe it's a tremendous opportunity, and we're going to build out a strategy to do that. And I know we talked a lot about the challenges that retailers have in understanding how to do these things. It sounds great on sell sheets. It sounds great in pitches, in the booths, but it's hard. And people need advice, and they need prioritization, and they need structure to go after it. And I think that's where the agency partnerships and having people that know the space and that you trust to guide you is going to be critical.
Huge. I agree. Huge.
It's like a breath of fresh air for someone to finally say that something's not easy, because I feel like all I hear anymore is how easy everything is. Plug and play, up in 10 minutes, you're ready to go. You know, these things take careful thought and consideration, trusted partners to help you implement. And these are things, they're just painful enough you don't want to switch platforms every 3 to 4 years. So you want to make sure that you're sort of identifying the right platform for the far future. And 7 years is an eon in our space. You think what we were doing 7 years ago, my God.
I mean, we were touching mobile for the first time.
Yeah.
I heard a retailer mention Blue Martini, and I felt old. That they're still on Blue Martini. And
I feel old because I know who Blue Martini is. So I'm old too.
Yeah.
Well, there's an entropy, right? There's a certain, you've been on a certain platform for a number of years, you've customized it, and you're reluctant, again, because you have the order flow and transactions happening to make that change. But I think one of the things that Laura and I are looking at is who's upset with their commerce platform and is looking to make a change. And then Acquia is using that as a lever to say, okay, we know you want to go from X to Y, but have you thought about your content and personalization strategy? And then let's partner with that new Y platform that you want to, hopefully Magento, that you want to go to. And create a more whole solution.
I think it's the right timing, because oftentimes, you know, if at that point retailers are making their decisions, and so
you have to reach later, the unhappiness phase.
Yeah, if you come in later, it creates more problems because you're usually having to rip something out, and that can be a little bit harder. So I like that strategy.
It can be. And Chuck is absolutely right, and that's what we're thinking about. And on the flip side of that is part of what we bring to the table is the fact that you don't have to rip and replace if you can't afford to or you don't want to.
You can layer on service. Yep.
That's awesome.
Yep. We can fit in where you need us to fit in, and that's part of the modular flexibility that is so appealing.
That's huge. Yeah, that means you guys can really come in at any point in the cycle. But I do like the strategy.
I was actually just kind of talking about the show and interesting things that I've seen. I think it's Applause over there. We don't really get into this too much in the e-commerce space. We always talk about like sort of risk mitigation, and when we're getting ready to launch a new site, and I don't know if you guys experience this at all, we always prepare a merchant for, well, there's an immediate dip in conversion. There's that little speed bump you go over as your experience changed and your most familiar customers are coming up to speed on your new experience. Applause actually was showing me that they have a managed beta platform for opt-in beta management for you to sort of have very graceful changeover in sight. Gosh, is that needed? We really need that. And I hear so much about A-B testing, but who A-B tests their checkout? Who A-B tests their... It's hard stuff to do. It's almost not even worth the headaches. But a full platform switch can be even scarier. And yeah, having those gradual opt-in, you know, we're not all Yahoo, and well, maybe, or Altaba, I guess is what they're called now. But we're not all, you know, at the level where we're developing these large solutions that allow opt-ins, and we sort of optimize and test and change things in regards to our most frequent user. Like, I'm really interested in things like that, where I see it doesn't have to be explained to me what the value is of it, where somebody might question, you know, everybody seems to be giving away an Alexa device at this conference. Someone might question how their content or their commerce play works in voice commerce. They don't even understand how they could work in that space. That is a solution, I think, that makes a lot of sense to a lot of people.
And I'm so with you, because I'm one of those people that have lived through the site redesigns or the huge transitions of certain bolted on technologies, be it search or be it analytics, and you always worry about the risk to your current customers.
Yeah.
We spend a lot of time as part of our planning for those projects sort of preparing the executives for that little dip that could happen. So the fact that there's a solution that could come in to help with that and allay some of the complexity and some of the risk associated with these big projects is, I mean, that's brilliant.
Yeah, and I hope we start to see more services like that. It's a pretty niche service, but I think if we see more like that, I see that as merchant enablement, or, you know, it's, I think that is the future, if I have to sort of co-op our name, that is the future of commerce, is it's more about enabling merchants to sort of play in the same space that the Amazons of the world play in, which is, you know, no merchant, and certainly Magento, that's not a thing that's core to Magento. You don't really do a lot of platform switching. Hopefully, if you're a Magento, you stay on the platform for a long time.
Yeah.
So you're not looking to jump platforms a lot. So again, I see more of that. And, you know, we've seen some other review platforms. There's some interesting stuff at this show.
Absolutely, yeah. No,
the really one cool that's getting buzz is TrueFit. So,
yeah.
So know your size accurately across all retailers.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
And they have an insane number of brands that look like they've all signed on for that.
We talk about body data a lot on the show.
So it'll be out before this, but we had Body Labs. Are you familiar with Body Labs at all?
But my wife just bought me a Scotch and Soda bomber jacket, and it's back in New York. She's bringing it to me in Miami, and she said, I want you to go try it on in Las Vegas and make sure it fits. If it fits... Or if it doesn't fit, go get the other size. I'll return it.
That's amazing.
And I don't have time for this. Like, I need a true fit.
Yeah.
Nobody's, that's awesome.
Yeah. So.
Well, there's been a lot of talk at the conference about kind of digital moments and the desire to give people back their time and the ability to sort of take the heavy lifting out of the errands or out of those little tactical things that have to get done, but really not the way people want to spend their valuable time anymore. So how can convenient things help to give people back time.
We talked about this on the show a little bit, but this idea of like personal efficiency-based commerce, like and how to catch people along the way so that they don't have to spend time doing things that they really don't need to be doing. I talked about this a few episodes back, and I think it was with Amber Armstrong.
Mm-hmm.
But the idea is essentially, you know, I think efficiency almost became a dirty word a little bit for just a little while. You know, and we were really focused on design and experience and so on. I don't think that's going to change again. And we've already seen this come back quite a bit. But People's time is their most valuable asset, and so why not make sure that whatever it is that we're selling, make sure that people are going to be willing to pay a premium to get that time back. So,
yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Another thing I see too is hyperlocal. Mm-hmm. People are talking more about, you know, their neighborhood corner store more than ever. And that store and the demands on that store to be able to have the convenience factor that Brian was just talking about. I mean, they don't even, like, supply chain's not a thing that they even think about. Like, they're just trying to stay ahead of it every day. And my mom was a small business owner. She had a number of bakeries, and she was there at 2 a.m. baking the bread. You know, it's like, you can't, at that level, to also think about how customers, you know, have, you know, buy online, pick up. That's so we're gonna have to have a range of services. That is the future of commerce, in my opinion. A range of services that enable merchants to play at a higher level.
So you stood in the line at Starbucks then around the corner.
I did. Oh,
why?
My gosh.
Brand loyalty, I guess. It's free coffee all over the place.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
It is incredible, though. You see the line that kind of wraps around. That actually is a great example of how, no matter the amount of convenience, people will go out of their way to be inconvenienced to engage in a brand that they have a passion for.
Yeah, but they've got
that's emotional
voice ordering now, so.
Yeah, but not in the aria.
I'm just playing.
Yeah. Oh, that's interesting. Well, thank you guys so much for joining us. How can we direct people your way? Where can we send them?
Yeah, I think that Acquia.com overall has very accessible ways to reach anybody within Acquia based on your interests.
So. Okay, and that's ACQUIA.com.
All right. Yes.
Well, thank you so much.
Awesome.
Chuck Fishman, Ken DeBloy, Laura Brooks from Acquia, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.